Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I am so thrilled for you. Actually, I'm really thrilled for all of us because Thursday obviously kicks off another week of NFL games, and I kind of missed it. I felt like last weekend really stirred up the drama, and it went back to Saints and Cowboys. And then you think about the number of teams that are still involved in the playoff races and so much that is yet to be decided, and we've got 1 month left. So I found myself over the last couple of days thinking, okay, Thursday, we just get here so we can start the game on Thursday night. Scintillating. Last week I said take the over. Actually, I didn't say take the over. I said, why wouldn't you take the over? That was a direct quote from me about the Cowboys and Saints. And if I'm not mistaken, the line was 53. And, of course, they got nowhere near that, right? So I have no idea what the line is for Jacksonville, Tennessee, but I'm going to assume it's not 53. And my question to you would be, why would you take the over? So in a week, I'm going from why wouldn't you take the over to why would you take the over? Jacksonville just pitched a shutout against the Colts last week. 6-0. I mean, that's a pretty nice. It was 37.5. Wait. Oh, okay. I thought you meant for last week. I was like, no, it wasn't. 37.5. Come on. Jacksonville and Tennessee, 37.5. Of course. My rhetorical question last week turned out to be leading you in the wrong direction, so I can't possibly say anything about this game. This is why I don't bet. I am not prepared to lose. So Jacksonville in Nashville at Tennessee, where the Titans have put themselves back at 500. Still, Jacksonville's defense, well, it was fantastic. Literally did not allow a point. And that's impressive against Andrew Luck and the Colts because they had won, was it 5 games in a row? And their offense was, it was great. It was in a really nice groove. And then they ran into Jacksonville. So Jacksonville ended its 7-game win streak. And now we'll see if they can take out two. They're playing the role of spoiler here if they can. Take out two South Division opponents in the span of a week. So that's where we start off on Thursday Night Football. Don't you dare try to take a nap during this football game. I'll know it. I'll know it, and I will give you the evil eye, the stink eye. My grandpa used to say stink eye. I don't really know what that means. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Inside the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We'll do some QB news coming up here in the next 15 minutes because we've got some updates on quarterbacks who may or may not be starting. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is still defending himself. But some of the games we've got coming up this weekend, they are headlines not just because of the names that you know who will be on the field, but also because of some injuries that I think could be significant. And so I wanted to hit a few of those injuries in these next couple of minutes. Our injury report is brought to you by the Salt Institute. So let's take a look at a few of these that are grabbing headlines. How about the Carolina Panthers and their star quarterback Cam Newton admitting and actually saying he's surprised that he is still experiencing pain in his right shoulder? He actually says it is affecting him in games. This is a year and a half after he had surgery. And while there's no need to right now start planning for an off-season surgery, he wouldn't commit himself to that yet. He came up with a quirky line about, I can neither confirm nor deny. Just that it's still bothering him. Now he's certainly going to play. He's not taking himself out. He says he's healthy enough to go, but there is still some pain. Is still some residual soreness. Who knows if that's why he got pulled late in the loss to Tampa Bay. Either way, there's not a whole lot that you can do to protect the guy. he's got to throw the ball. They don't really have a choice. He's the quarterback, and they got a month to go. So we'll see if it comes to a head. But that's one big injury. Another is Emmanuel Sanders, the top wide receiver for the Denver Broncos. He was running routes in practice on Wednesday and went down and grabbed his heel. And it's now been confirmed that he tore his Achilles. Do you know this is the seventh offensive starter that is lost to the Broncos? And that includes the trade with Demaryius Thomas to the Houston Texans. But they've had a half dozen other guys now, including Sanders, who've been lost to injuries, plus Thomas getting traded. They're down seven offensive starters. And it's unfortunate. It stinks for E, because they were just putting themselves back into that playoff conversation. But 71 catches, 868 yards for him, four touchdowns. All those were tops on the Broncos. And now he's done and likely is going to be out for a good portion of 2019 as well. Though he was very positive in a post that he put on social media about how he was going to return better than ever. And one more, James Conner, trying to rehab his sprained ankle as quickly as he possibly can. Week 15 is the Steelers' battle against the Patriots. That could be significant for home field advantage, for a bye. He's right now not able to go. All he's doing is rehabbing. So not on the practice field, not really in the locker room. He's doing everything he can. A hyperbaric chamber. Back to tank. He needs a back to tank. It's not funny. Sorry. It's a Star Wars reference if you don't know. Anyway, he's in rough shape right now, but the goal is to try to get him ready for week 15 against New England. And that's your injury report brought to you by the Salt Institute. Aside from water, salt is one of the most common food ingredients we consume, and that's no accident. Sodium is required to make every cell in your body function. Everything is better with a little salt. You can find out why at alittlesalt.org. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We are scheduled to speak to Derwin James of the Los Angeles Chargers on Thursday, and we would have that conversation for you coming up on Thursday night on the show. And Derwin and the Chargers, of course, are coming off that victory in Pittsburgh on Sunday night, in which they were down 16 points at the half and rallied. And what a confidence boost for them, but also a great gauge for where they are at this point with a month left to go. A lot of their wins had come against teams with losing records, but they get this big victory on the road in Pittsburgh, able to come back the way they did. And now they get to move forward into this final month and their next opponent also in the AFC North against the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, we would never bring it up if it wasn't actually a thing. But sometimes there are letdowns. We're human beings, so sometimes we have letdowns. And you come off of a really emotional experience, or in this case, a really emotional game, a huge win for them. And there's a letdown. You don't have the same intensity, the same sense of urgency. It's not that you don't want to win. It's just that you spent so much energy mentally and physically to get to the point where you could win that game that now you're like, oh. And so we'll see. We'll see if they can turn around then and bring that same sense of urgency. And I feel like the motivation's there, right? Because they're only a game back of the Chiefs in the AFC West. Again, Derwin James will be on the show. I always hesitate to preview these things because sometimes when it comes to athletes, they don't work out. And then I look like a goof because I've just said to you, hey, we're going to have this great athlete on the show. We're going to talk about this game. We're going to talk about this game. And then it doesn't happen. And then I feel terrible. Anyway, he's got three interceptions. He's also tops on the team in tackles, and we were asked to submit a list of names to the Chargers, guys that we'd be interested in, and I think he would make a great conversation. Not only is he a rookie, right, so he's new, certainly one of the Rookie of the Year candidates, But he's fresh into the NFL out of Florida State. You're talking about a whole other can of worms, right? Just you're not only playing a significant role for your team, but your team is winning. You're on the other side of the country from where you grew up and where you played college football, and you're trying to get acclimated to the NFL, which is decidedly different. So thought he would be interesting, and hopefully he's a great talker. I've not talked to him before, so I'm looking forward to it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The games that are catching my attention, at least in this upcoming schedule, and you never know where we're going to end up having, you know, the real compelling games or the really compelling storylines. Let's hope it's not injuries. But in terms of the games that are catching my attention, I can't help it. It doesn't matter if it's a home game against a team with a losing record. I am just fascinated by the idea of a Green Bay Packers game without Mike McCarthy on the sidelines. That to me is so odd. And I mentioned this earlier in the week. He was there for 13 seasons, which encompasses my entire network career. So the entire time that I have spent covering the NFL as a whole, because when you're in local radio, you don't necessarily cover what every other team is doing in the NFL. Though I think more and more in this day and age, you can talk about a team in one corner of the country, say Florida, and fans in Seattle care. And it has a lot to do with betting. It has a lot to do with fantasy. But we just get really engaged. It's much more all access. But it wasn't that way when I started. And so I've never talked about a Packers team without Mike McCarthy. I don't even know what to do with myself. It just sounds so weird. It feels weird. And so that's one game that I'm really looking forward to in spite of myself. Also, how about Baltimore and Kansas City? This one's at Arrowhead. So we had talked about Lamar Jackson, who is now 3-0 as the rookie starter of the Ravens. And they want him to cut down on turnovers, as you can imagine. And there's been this gradual progression, right? So there's been two home games. Then they went on the road to Atlanta. And a little bit of a road test there, but it's nothing compared to Arrowhead. Not only is it outdoors in the elements, but it's the Chiefs and it's Arrowhead. And I'm telling you what, those fans are loud. So this is a hostile atmosphere. They've done so well running the ball. Their defense has been fantastic. How will the young quarterback and the Ravens handle the atmosphere in Kansas City? Of course, the Rams and the Bears, that game on Sunday night. Oh my goodness. That one almost makes me hungry. I don't know why. Probably because, you know, like salivating, and then I think about food, and I know that's gross, sorry. The Vikings and the Seahawks for sure on Monday night. And then Philadelphia and Dallas. Those are some of the ones that I'm excited about. But I could make a case for pretty much any of these. How about the Saints in a rematch with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They're coming off the loss to the Cowboys that snapped their win streak at 10. Tampa Bay is the team that beat them in the season opener in the Superdome in New Orleans. Remember, it was a shootout. It was our first taste of Fitzmagic in 2018. It petered out. But it worked for that particular game and a few after. So now the Saints have to travel to Tampa. Can I get anyone interested in that one?
Survivor Island.
I mean, they did just lose to the Cowboys, and their offense didn't look good at all. So anyway, there's lots of intrigue in week 14. I'm looking forward to it. Coming up, we've got the latest in your QB news. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Great to have you alongside. If it's your Thursday morning, well, good morning. It's the start of week 14 in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So to start the hour, we talked about some injury question marks for a handful of teams. And one of those is Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers and how it might be affecting him as he tries to steer his Panthers out of what is a four-game losing skid. This team was 6-2 and was right behind the New Orleans Saints. And then, man, they just lost it. And it's really a bunch of blame to go around. It's been the offense with some dumb mistakes, some bad turnovers. They've been wasting these incredible games by Christian McCaffrey. But it's also about the defense and giving up too many points and giving up too many chunk plays. Is it about Cam Newton's shoulder? He admits that there is still some residual pain and soreness in his throwing shoulder, even though it's been a year and a half since he had surgery. And while he initially said, I don't know, I might need to have another operation when the season is over, when he was asked and pressed for a clarification, he decided to slam on the brakes.
Can't conform, I can't confirm or deny. But at the end of the day, I just know, I'm healthy enough to play. And, I'm not going to let nothing hold me back from being able to, help my team. And I don't definitely want to be a liability. I just want to make sure that, I'm putting myself and this team in the best situation to win football games.
Obviously, it's a hazard of the job. But if you are interested in what type of an injury, well, it's similar to the type of procedure that Andrew Luck had. And remember, there's always this whole idea of timing. Do you get the shoulder repaired, or do you wait and you hope that it heals? Do you go through the rehab and try to operate without the actual surgery and going under the knife? And he went ahead and he had the surgery, whereas in Luck's case, they delayed it. They pushed it back a couple times. Newton says he's not second-guessing it at all, and now it's just about managing the pain. But that's kind of rough, right? I mean, do you know if you're ever going to be able to throw without pain? That'd be the question that I was asking myself right now.
Just got to live with it. Father of time ain't nobody's friend. But at the end of the day, you got to do certain things that gives you the best opportunity to, be accurate, have strength in your arm or, have endurance, in the game.
Father time ain't nobody's friend. I mean, if you're a professional athlete, definitely not. But getting older is not that bad, right? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's the time of the year when everybody's got aches and pains. And so if it wasn't his shoulder, it might be something else. He gets hit a lot. He gets hit hard and he gets hit a lot. The style that he plays, just the kind of an athlete that he is. There are times when he initiates contact. How often have we seen him out on the field in front of one of his receivers or a runner, and he's blocking, he's throwing blocks. And so sometimes he invites that contact, and I think at this point it's about preservation. It's about, yes, trying to get this losing streak ended, but also if you want any shot at the postseason, you're going to need a quarterback who can throw the football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of being able to play healthy, well, there's a shot that Jets rookie Sam Darnold could be back on the field this week. He's missed several games. Josh McCown has been starting in place of him, and it's been a rough go for the Jets, not just because he hasn't been out there, but they've lost 6 games in a row, and he is definitely chomping at the bit.
That's the goal. I'm really excited about this week and where we're headed, and really excited about how I felt today. So as of right now, yeah, I'm really excited about hopefully getting the chance to play on Sunday. For me, watching and not having a chance to really do anything about it sucks. But at the same time, it is what it is, and I knew that going into it. So I was just trying to get healthy every single week and come back, and hopefully this week's the week.
If you think about what the other rookie quarterbacks are doing, I can understand why he'd be chomping at the bit to get back out there. I mean, Lamar Jackson is 3-0 and has had the chance now to get out there and play for a potential playoff team. As for the Jets, yes, it's been a lot of losses in a row. The Vikings at Chicago, at Miami, against Buffalo, against the Patriots, at Nashville. And then coming up this weekend, week 14, they're on the road at Buffalo again. And we know Buffalo's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Some days, some days they look like world beaters. Not very often, but other days they don't. And so we'll see. Maybe this is the opportunity for the Jets to be able to snap that losing skid. But as you can imagine, the rookie is watching the season kind of dwindle away. And there will be no postseason for New York. And he wants to get back out there. Also, Josh McCown has got a bulky back, and so it really does behoove the Jets to get the rookie back on the field. He was the first quarterback who was under center during the open portion of practice on Wednesday. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, the next little piece of audio requires a bit of setup. As you know, there's a lot of opinions out there about what role Aaron Rodgers played in the firing of Mike McCarthy. And even if it wasn't overt, was it subtle? Was it the front office, the CEO, Mark Murphy, maybe seeing that relationship is cooled off and that Aaron would be happier with a different coach? Who knows? It's also ethereal, right? I don't know that we're ever going to get anything concrete to go on, which lends itself then to speculation and conjecture. And that's exactly what Leroy Butler was doing when he joined CBS Sports Radio as a guest of Tiki and Tierney.
Listening to Aaron Rodgers makes me think about when people go to funerals when their parents pass away and they cry and they ask God to take me instead of my parents. But when your parents were alive, you didn't compliment them. You didn't even go see them.
Damn.
Wow. Leroy Butler is coming out throwing flames.
Wow. Say all this good stuff when McCarthy was right next to you, Aaron. That would have been great to do that.
I'll say this first. I think there's nobody holds me more accountable than myself. I mean, I'm always checking myself on my preparation habits and my practice habits and my mindset. But, I mean, there's always been, a great deal of accountability under Mike's program for the last 13 years. There's consequences for actions that are outside of what's in the best interest of the team. And there's never been I used to always tell him, I said, hey, you know, if you need to call on somebody in a meeting to let everybody know that we're all on the equal playing field, call on me first.
So essentially Butler, who is a former teammate of Rodgers with the Packers, he was part of that Super Bowl victory over the Patriots. This is He was before that. Yeah. No, not same team. My fault. He was before the current one. So anyway, you got me. He was going back to what, the 80s, right? In the late 90s. That was the Super Bowl right before the Broncos won their two in a row. Yeah. Wait, what? Okay, I thought when you said 2001, that's when they won the Super Bowl. You got to clarify. No, he was done then, yeah. So my fault. Not the same Super Bowl as Aaron Rodgers, going back to the one that he won with Brett Favre. And so what he's saying essentially is that it's great and all that Rodgers is coming out and talking about the relationship with Mike McCarthy and how much he admires him and respects him and how well they worked together and they were such good friends. But it sounds like a eulogy as opposed to something that he could have done when McCarthy was still there, maybe to stump for McCarthy so he wouldn't lose his job, kind of a thing. So if you want to hear more of the interview, you could do that on CBSSportsRadio.com. And again, you're looking for the Tiki and Tierney podcast. Now, Butler's also spending time on Twitter sharing his thoughts. He goes on a few hours later and talks about how he believes in Aaron. He has a clean canvas. He can write whatever he wants the next four games. Hashtag go, Pat, go. But the idea of accountability is what Rodgers was then responding to. And so you've got a lot of these former Packers who are pretty frustrated by how this went down. He's not the only one who's spoken out, doesn't like the fact that McCarthy was fired in the middle of the season, and also pointing to Aaron and saying, hey, you're not coming out of this unscathed. And so here is Aaron, who's having to respond to all these various claims or ideas from former Packers. And, you know, while he is certainly an iconic quarterback and he's the face of their franchise, he's not the only guy who ever wore the uniform. And you know how beloved a lot of these Packers are, especially if they were Super Bowl champs. And so when they come out and they speak, maybe there are members of the Packers Hall of Fame. Well, then you're talking about head turners, right? And fans kind of lost and not really sure what to believe. So it's been a mess. But this is a mess the Packers created. This is a mess that Mark Murphy created by firing your coach in season. If it doesn't happen after week 13, it happens at the end of the year. Maybe they miss the playoffs, likely to miss the playoffs. Well, then you don't have all this kind of speculation about Rodgers' role and Rodgers being happy and it was a birthday present and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so that's Leroy Butler. And again, he won a Super Bowl going back to the late 90s when Brett Favre was the quarterback. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. We'll get your calls coming up. Thanks so much for being part of our show and looking ahead to week 14. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's the final month. I just know that I'm a little giddier than usual. It might be the Christmas lights. That could be it. I get to sit in the chair and watch football and sit right next to my smelly balsam fir Christmas tree and be happy about the Christmas lights. I know it's strange. It's the little things, though, that make me happy.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Feathers belting into the end zone. Touchdown!
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. The Washington Redskins.
Sanchez in for the injured Colt McCoy. Adrian Peterson, the running back. He gives it to AP. Through a hole, 15-20, to the 30. AP to the races, to the 50, to the 40, 30. Electrified! AP, 90 yards for a touchdown!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was pretty incredible. And actually, it was the first handoff from Mark Sanchez. So, you know, that makes your job super easy when Adrian Peterson cruises 90 yards. I couldn't help but wonder if he had to go another 30 if the defense would have caught him. But whatever, he only had to go 90. And it was his 16th NFL touchdown of at least 50 yards, which snapped a tie with Barry Sanders. And so now AP has more touchdowns of at least 50 yards than any other running back in history. And Larry Michaels with the call there on the Redskins Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for voting. I know normally we reveal on our hump show, our middle show of the work week, but since I wasn't here, we saved it. But you guys always take part in our polls, and that's cool. CBS's Super Bowl season continues on Sunday with some exciting regional action. Playoff and wild card position up for grabs in critical AFC matchups. When Baltimore battles Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, Andrew Luck leads Indy into Houston to face the Texans. The Phillip Rivers-led Chargers host the Cincinnati Bengals. So check your local listings and kick off your day with the NFL Today only on CBS. Dane is listening in South Carolina. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, just want to say thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Finals week here at school, so I've been listening to the show quite a bit.
So you should be sleeping or studying, but instead you're talking to me. Sweet.
I'm just getting home from the library.
So, my gosh.
It's working out great. but going back, so I go to school in South Carolina, and there's a lot of Panthers fans around here. And something that I've noticed about Cam Newton is that he always seems to get hurt or complains about something right as the team starts doing bad. I don't know if there's a correlation with that or a reflection of his character, but it gets pretty old when Panther fans keep defending him and he kind of throws his fit.
I don't know if this would qualify as a fit. I feel like that would be too strong. Here's probably why it came up, though I wasn't there at the press conference, that he got taken out of the game again at the end for Taylor Heinicke to try to wrap it up and maybe to preserve his shoulder a little bit. I feel like that might be the reason why this came up. Not so much that he was complaining. Just out of curiosity, I'll just ask, when another player mentions some pain, maybe an ache that he's dealing with or an injury that he's still trying to deal with, do you feel the same way or is it just about Cam?
I would say it's just about Cam. I mean, what would that have been against Detroit 3 weeks ago when he overthrows the 2-point conversion, loses the game, and then the following Sunday back at home on the last drive, I think, against the Eagles, he can't close the deal. And And, I mean, you can just go all the way back to the Super Bowl with when things don't go his way, his effort becomes minimal. I mean, we all remember the infamous fumble that he didn't try to recover. But I think we're living in the era of drama queen quarterbacks.
Who else fits the bill?
Yeah, no, and I know you were talking about Aaron Rodgers earlier, and I mean, yeah, he might have, you know, had a say with getting rid of McCarthy, but I think at the end of the day, Rodgers is more the problem than McCarthy. I mean, he's out there against the Cardinals at home and throws the ball 50 times and has a QBR of 78, 79 and can't win the game. Doesn't sound – I mean, offensive schemes can only go so far when you throw the ball 50 times and supposedly the most athletic or talented quarterback in the NFL. But –
yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. So here's the issue. Number one, it's quarterback, which means they get way more of the credit when things go well, and they get blamed for far too much when things do not. It comes with the territory, right? I say this all the time when people ask me, how can you deal with the constant criticism on social media? It comes with the territory. I mean, I'm a national radio host, and I wouldn't give that up. And so it just comes with the territory, and that's kind of the deal with quarterback. Comes along with it. Now, in the case of Cam, I don't know that we'll ever have answers with the Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy situation. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But with Cam, his quarterback numbers have been really good. Now, this last game against Tampa Bay, he threw four interceptions, so that's why he puts it on him. But in the three losses before that, he's had a QBR above 100. In fact, against Seattle and Detroit, his QBR was above 110. And so he's not played poorly. I know they haven't won, and there have been, as you talk about, a couple of moments that stick out. But I feel like in the case of Cam Newton, he is as responsible for their wins, as much as people blame him for some of the losses. And he's not playing badly. I get what you're saying about the timing. He doesn't like losing. He's definitely mentioned that to us before.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm a Vikings fan, so Kirk Cousins, I know what it's like to not be able to win big games, but I would say Cam Newton has lost more games on his own than Kirk Cousins.
I don't think it's possible. I don't think one player can lose or win a game, just like I don't think a game goes down to one snap or one moment, one flag. I mean, if that was the case, they wouldn't bother with all the other guys. But that's me. It's a team sport, so we obsess over our quarterbacks, but it's not that simple. Dane, thank you, though. I hope that your finals go well.
I appreciate it. Have a good rest of your show.
You're welcome. Get some sleep. I remember those nights. Funny, too, when you're a student, I'll just speak for me. When I was a student, I pulled a lot of all-nighters. I mean, I'm a night owl anyway, and I'm a procrastinator by nature. And so I was constantly leaving things until the last second. So for that reason, plus I was carrying two majors when I was an undergrad. I was playing basketball, and so I was always running until the very last second to try to get things done. And I thought, oh, when I get out of college, that'll be the end of the all-nighters. Oh, yeah, so much for that. Nope. I pull more all-nighters now as an adult and have been in my career for a long time than I ever did as a student. I'm a night person, so I prefer to work nights instead of mornings. But it was really nice to sleep on Tuesday night. And I told the guys, I was out the entire time you all were listening to the show. I'm sure Zach did great. But I slept all through the debate over Urban Meyer and his stepping down and all of the reaction. Nope, I fell asleep a little before midnight my time and didn't wake up until 7 a.m. when the dog was ready to eat her breakfast. It was nice. Every now and then, I feel like a 4-day work week, I'd be so much more productive. I mean, it's not possible, but when I talked to my Grammy on the phone, I called her on Wednesday evening, and I was talking to her on the phone, and I told her about how I had a basketball game on Wednesday morning, and so I didn't work overnight, and I had slept, and I said, yeah, those 4-day work weeks – I would take them. And she's like, I know. Wouldn't that be nice if maybe we could like change it for everyone? Yeah, it doesn't actually work that way, but it would be nice. And to be fair, I worked all day Tuesday and I worked on Wednesday. I just didn't have to be up overnight on Tuesday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lots of your tweets, A-Law Radio, and also your Facebook post. So on Facebook, a bit of a debate about this LeBron versus KD death match. No, it's not that, but that's how it's going to be termed. That's how people are going to start looking at this, as it's LeBron James versus Kevin Durant. And because you fans are so predictable, many of you are now comparing LeBron to Kevin Durant. Okay, I don't know how it devolved into that, except that that's what happens with sports fans. Kevin is not speaking about LeBron's talent specifically. He's also not indicating that LeBron creates this environment around himself, just that it's a natural progression because of who he is and where he's been and because he is one of the best players on the planet. But he pointed to the media, he meaning KD, pointed to the media more than he pointed to LeBron. And he even said specifically to Rick Bucher for this Bleacher Report column that it's not LeBron's fault, but that not every superstar is going to be able to play with him. Now, if there's a larger goal, in the case of Chris Bosh and LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, they wanted to play together and they wanted to win rings together. D-Wade already had one, but Bosh and LeBron did not. And so they created that triumvirate because they wanted to win. And because of that, both Bosh and D-Wade were able to, for a time, subvert their egos, take a different role, and play for the good of the ring. The ring is the thing. The ring is the bling. But you know, it doesn't work forever. Not for everybody. It worked for Kyrie Irving till they got a ring. He stomached this sidekick role to LeBron James until they got the ring. And then what? He was ready to go. So yeah, especially after you have a ring, then you're thinking, I'm good. I think I'll go somewhere else. And maybe that'll be the case with Kevin Durant. Maybe he'll go somewhere else too because he wants to be the number one and only superstar and build a winning program on his own as opposed to attaching himself to the Warriors, who already have three superstars and three all-stars of their own. So we'll see. But I do love your post on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for weighing in. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.